Einsteigen, aufdrehen, losfahren. Mit dem neuen Volkswagen T-Roc bist du bereit für den großen Auftritt. Selbstbewusst und voller Power. Du steigst ein? Keine Kompromisse. Nur du und der Moment. Alles passt. Dein Sound, dein Drive, dein T-Roc. Rockt. Der neue T-Roc.
Everybody want to know what I would do if I didn't win. I guess we'll never know.
So keep it locked. I don't get enough of it. Jesus just rose again.
Listen to the kids.
Welcome to Watching the Throne,
a lyrical analysis of Kanye West.
My name is Chris Lambert.
And my name is Travis Bean, and today we are covering the song called No Mistakes.
Ooh, hoo, hoo. The low-key Drake diss, as people were talking about it.
Yeah, that line might have been a mistake.
Yeah, it's definitely... one that threw me for a loop the first time I heard the song. It's still to this day every time I hear the song.
And just to know, I know you're looking for Jordan, right? You're like, where's Jordan? Like, where's his voice? Where's that little guy? He's not here. Because, keeping in line with the song, Travis made a huge mistake. Accidentally erased his recording when we originally recorded this episode, which is why it's coming out so late, which is why Travis feels like garbage, which is why he's going to give you 110% on this episode.
Though, you know, in the 3 years we've been doing this podcast, this is the first time we've ever lost an audio file, which I think is pretty good in 3 years. Like, I can't tell you how many like movie reviews I accidentally erased all of it or lost all of what I was writing. And I was just like, fuck no, that took me 8 hours.
Yeah, I know. At least I didn't lose it after it had been edited. Like that's the kind of moment where I almost give up on everything.
You're just like, never mind, podcast is done. Like there's no use going back to it.
I actually had thoughts like that, like not legitimate thoughts, but I was sitting there thinking like, oh, like, I would rather just stop doing the podcast forever than tell Chris and Jordan that I lost the recording.
No, you can make mistakes, Travis. It's okay.
All right. No more, though. I make no mistake, I'm never going to lose another recording again.
Yeah, you better have learned your lesson.
I still love you, Chris.
I still love you, you know? You know? So, No Mistakes. It's fifth song on Ye, and is the first in the upswing after the middle transition that was What It Leave. So the album structure as we see it is you have first three songs that start us off in this darker, negative place.
How you gonna hate, nigga? We go way back to when I had the braids and you had the wave cap. Drop a pimp for the mine, aim up a notch. Guess I just turn the cloud game up a notch. See, y'all really shocked, but I'm really not. You know how many girls I took to the titty shop? If she get the ass, if I pull up with a Kerry Washington, that's gonna be an enormous scandal. I could have Naomi Campbell, and still might want me a Stormy Daniels.
And then when you get to What It Leave, it's kind of a awakening from that mania, that stupor, that ego, all the kind of problematic mindsets and viewpoints that got Kanye into trouble.
For any guy that ever fucked up, ever embarrassed they girl, ever embarrassed they wife, she told you not to do that shit. She told you was gonna fuck the money up. But you ain't wanna listen.
With Would It Leave being this recognition of it, and a desire to do better. So No Mistakes, Kids See Ghosts, not Kids See Ghosts, Ghost Town, and Violent Crimes are all that post Wouldn't Leave, better person Kanye. Kind of like his Groundhog Day, where there's that tipping point in Groundhog Day where Bill Murray goes from just being an indulgent piece of shit to somebody that's trying to do better and do good for everyone.
Yeah. And I mean, those last three songs are really kind of working through it, you know, because Wouldn't Leave is like the, it's not like anything's actually happening on Wouldn't Leave. It's kind of coming into a very simple realization that he should have had years ago, but it is just now coming to terms with it, which is Kim loves him. And it doesn't matter if he acts a certain way. He doesn't need to be a certain person. Like, she loves Kanye West. She loves him the way he is. He just needs to learn to rein it in and be more level-headed and be a more complete individual and to control that Yeezus side of himself. So Wouldn't Leave is really just a big long realization of that fact. And the next three songs are him learning to do that. You know, it's starting with No Mistakes, where it's kind of a continuation of sorts. You know, it's him saying like, look, like, I'm going to do this. And this is the first step of me working towards that.
Which I love so much.
Yeah. And the song does it, obviously, lyrically, but as we'll get into sonically, the song really does convey this sort of step-by-step approach to sort of reinventing yourself or putting together the process of bettering yourself for the people in your life.
And there's a lot of cool moments, I think, sonically where, you know, we were at a little bit of a disadvantage in covering this album in that for every other album Kanye's done, we had years, except Life of Pablo, we at least had months to kind of get used to it and understand the soundscapes of the tracks and the intercontextuality before we started really talking about the album. With Ye, we dove right into it. And we've now had a couple months of listening to the album over and over, being able to step away from it and come back to it. And I think I took a week. If that puts into context that I'd listened to at least like 2 to 3 songs every week since it came out, mostly the whole album every week since it came out, often like, you know, 3 to 4 days a week. Mm-hmm. But I just took a week off and come back to it. And it sounds so much like deeper and more beautiful in some ways. But then there's also little like motifs that I feel like I notice more than what I did initially.
Yeah, it's tough because it's such a short album. And sometimes the songs just feel like steps in a process Kanye is taking. I mean, at this point, we know Kanye is making concept albums and we know he's telling stories. So I think you and I are at this point where we're just looking for those steps, you know, and listening to it in this sort of critical way. But yeah, you're right. When you just like kind of soak in the album and just let it wash over you, you really do take in all these little things that are happening throughout it. And we're going to get into it in No Mistakes. No Mistakes might be my least favorite song on this album, but that's mostly because it's just like 2 minutes long and like it's, and I want so much more. But I mean, within this song, there is so much going on. There is from the Slick Rick sample to the, you know, just the sounds and the thumps that are going on in Kanye's verse and everything it's building up to, like, it's kind of insane. I feel like you understand what the song's doing without having to think about it critically, you know, like the way we do. If you just kind of listen to it, you really do get that sense of Kanye learning to be a better person.
Yeah, which I think starts with the choral voices. There's a gospelness that comes into it with the sample of Children Get Together that's there that kind of is built upon as we go through the chorus and the verse. But by the time you get to the end of the song and everything swells, you definitely don't get a negative vibe from that. And that matches and continues what we got at the end of Wouldn't Leave. I mean, Wouldn't Leave starts with Kanye in a very isolated place, reflecting on his slavery is a choice line and everybody else like freaking out and his wife freaking out. Now I'm on 50 blogs getting 50 calls. My wife calling, screaming, say we about to lose it all. Had to calm her down because she couldn't breathe. Told her she could leave me now, but she wouldn't leave. And the first time that we hear the chorus with Party Next Door, it's just that singular voice, as had been the case on I Thought About Killing You, as had been the case on Yikes and All Mine, there wasn't a lot of choral voices.
Mm-hmm.
But by the end of Wouldn't Leave, once he does accept that Kim's there for him and she's going to stand by him, and he understands his own limitations and methodology, the good and the bad of it, like when I'm thinking like George Jetson but sounding like George Jefferson, at the end of that song, when the chorus comes back, it's Party Next Door and Ty Dolla Sign. And their voices go together and merge, and we get this chorus and the beautiful music, and that continues into No Mistakes, to where both times we get the chorus, it's Charlie Wilson and Kid Cudi and Carolyn Shaw. We don't go back to that isolated chorus or soundscape. And the rest of the songs, Ghost Town, Violent Crimes, also have that multi-voiced, positive atmosphere and vibe to them. To see if I still bleed, yeah. And nothing hurts anymore, I feel kind of free. Be worried, all it was all part of the story. Even the scary nights, thank you for all of the glory. You will be remembered all, thank you to all of the heroes of the night. Yeah, and everything you're describing, No Mistakes is such a bridge into him finding that sound. You have the chorus come in at the end of Wouldn't Leave, but it doesn't, to me, it doesn't capture Kanye learning to make music again. It's just this, that chorus represents this realization of, okay, I need the change. And No Mistakes is him learning to make that music again. You know, how does Kanye West, the healthy Kanye West that everybody loves, make music? And this whole song feels like that. You know, it's very disparate, and there are a lot of samples being cut up and chopped up and thrown into different places, and it's not like everything feels like a cohesive piece until the very end when it blows up. And that's such a perfect lead into Ghost Town, which starts with that Shirley Ann Lee sample. Which, if you've listened to our Fourth Dimension episode, you know that the Shirley Ann Lee song is an incomplete song. The part we hear in Ghost Town is the beginning of a song she wanted to make but didn't know how to finish, and the rest of Ghost Town thus becomes kind of finishing that song and giving it music and making it beautiful. So No Mistakes really is the lead up to that point. And this, in like what Chris is talking about with all the choral voices and the kind of orchestral sound that comes into the album, like that's where it really can blow up and take form and shape and represent that next step for Kanye. And what you're saying with the how No Mistakes operates in that way, we see that the first half of the song is almost a deconstructed song, in that you start with the solo Slick Rick sample going into the chorus that has the multiple voices. Believe it or not. Believe it or not. Ain't no mistake, girl, I still love you. But then the music kind of drops away when we get Kanye coming in. Take the top off, let the sun come in. But once he goes through his depressive phase in the first part of that verse and gets more serious, and that Yeezus aspect comes out, the music drops away entirely. Ain't no love lost. Shifting then to more of a synth and like piercing note for a few lines. Before the sample comes back in again, and as we close out that verse, you have these little threads starting to appear and build and swell until the chorus comes back, and it's this explosion of music. Well, should we get into more of the specifics?
Yeah, believe it or not, we should.
So, before we get into the Children Get Together sample that makes up the backbone of the soundscape, let's start with the Slick Rick reference that begins the song before the music even comes in. The Believe It or Not is a clip of Slick Rick from the song Hey Young World.
Hey young world, the world is yours.
Hey young world, the world is yours.
Young world,
the world is yours.
Young world.
Which is a pretty long song. I think it's 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12. It's like over 20 bars per verse.
Yeah.
And is two verses. And what it's talking about is, hey, young world, talking to the youth. And it shows this dichotomy of people that act in a negative way or a bad way, who are essentially like bad kids, who are doing drugs, not trying hard in school, being disrespectful to their parents. And it's Slick Rick chastising them and telling them, this is how you should act. This is how you should be. At one point in the first verse, he says, hey, little kids, don't follow these dopes. So you get these life lessons from Slick Rick. Don't admire thieves. Hey, they don't admire you. So listen, be strong, scream whoopee-doo.
Hey, they don't admire you. Their time's limited, hard rocks too. So listen, be strong, scream whoopee-doo. Go for yours, cause dreams come true.
And you'll make your mommy so
Which, the first time we talked about this song, I didn't really think about it. But now looking back over it, if Kanye had this sample in mind and the message of it in mind, and at the end of the first verse, we get, so listen, be strong, scream whoopee-doo. Go for yours, because dreams come true, and you'll make your mommy proud. Now, this might be a reach, but, you know, Kanye cares about making his mom proud.
Sure.
He named his production company Getting Out Our Dreams. Go for yours, because dreams come true is that line. And then, so listen, be strong, scream whoopee-doo. And Kanye released...
Whoop-dee-doo-scoop, scoop-dee-dee-whoop, whoop-dee-scoop-dee-poop, poop-dee-scoop-dee-scoop-dee-whoop, whoop-dee-scoop-whoop.
Connections.
Yeah, it just seems, you know, coincidental at best, or coincidental at worst, purposeful at best.
Yeah, you were scared to talk about this. I actually think the whoop-dee-doo thing, I don't want to say it's an obvious connection, but... if Kanye's using Slick Rick, I don't know, maybe he didn't do it consciously, but that seems like, no, he had to have done it consciously because he's Kanye. I don't know. I think he did it on purpose.
Well, one of the things that we know from Cudi and Kanye in a recent interview that Cudi did is that they were working on Kids See Ghost for a year. So while people think that, well, Kanye wrote the lyrics for Ye in the week before the album came out, it doesn't mean that he wasn't thinking about the music, wasn't thinking about the themes. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways in which the two albums might have influenced each other is that Kids See Ghost ends with Cudi montage and the refrain, Lord, shine your light on me, save me, please.
You're shining light on me, save me.
And in the second verse of this Slick Rick song, we get the line, believe it or not, the Lord still shines on you.
It's time to take the stand. Believe it or not, the Lord still shines on you. He
guides you.
And he watched you as you grew. Plus,
past the age
of a little child, that's true. But folks,
the Lord still shines on you. And the Lord, shine your light on me. Save me, please. Seem very, very, very connected. Especially the fact that Kanye used the first part of the line and uses the full line at the end of this song. That yeah. It seems hard to imagine that he didn't have this line in mind when writing either Cudi montage or taking that line. Or yeah, he would have written the line on Cudi montage with this in mind.
Yeah. And as Chris and I have described before, we do think that Ye and Kids See Ghost kind of overlap and represent a very similar journey, and that it's Kanye learning to control himself and to get past his ghost and to become a more fully realized individual. And on Kitsy Ghost, you know, it's a build up to that line, Lord, shine your light on me, and being more in tune with God, but also just being more in tune with himself and asking for help. And we're seeing that same kind of build, I think, on this song, you know, like you just described. We get the believe it or not line at the beginning, and then at the end, we get the believe it or not, the Lord still shines on you. It's Kanye taking something he did with Kitsy Ghost and applying it here to Ye. You know, he's not just being influenced by Kitsy Ghost. There's a direct connection between these albums.
Very, very much so. Very, very much so. So I wonder if Kanye would have had this song in mind when putting together the albums, and would have had this song in mind when he put together Lift Yourself, and, you know, just reflecting on everything that Slick Rick sang in the track, and then taking that whoopee-doo, probably being amazed by that, and then taking that and putting it as part of Lift Yourself.
Yeah. I mean, as you already said, it's not like Kanye didn't have all the ideas in mind leading up to Ye. He just kind of reworked the lyrics in the last week because he wants to put out an album that represents him in the state he's in when the album comes out. It doesn't mean that he wasn't influenced by Whoop-de-Doop the whole time. That's probably in the back of his head as he's getting ready to head into the song. He probably knew he was going to use the Slick Rick sample forever. He just reworked the actual words within the song when he got to it.
Yep. 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 And so the second verse kind of operates in a way that the verse on No Mistakes operates. On No Mistakes, we start with Kanye reflecting on this downtime that he's had and then transitioning into this beef and being a bigger person rather than indulging in the beef, even though he kind of indulges in the beef.
a little bit.
But the second verse of the Hey Young World starts off with Slick Rick addressing a specific kind of person. Hey, Mr. Big Shot, hey, don't you look fly?
Oh, my, you've been fighting again and you forgot why. Hey, kid, walk straight, master your high. Why? Because you make your family cry. And all jokes aside, are you in good health? Now have you really checked yourself? You're a disgust, you know someone that I can trust, you
steal Mars well.
And you'd run and buy some dust and
plus, I must say,
Big Shot, you're not. Your friends are talking and I'm hearing that your girls are what? You didn't know? Go steal and rob.
And while you're
go get a suit for a job. You see, you're acting like this urge is demanding.
Come on, wake up.
Have some understanding. Society's a weak excuse for a man.
It's time for the
rabbit's time to take the stand.
Believe it or not, the Lord still shines on you. He guides you and he watched you as you grew. Past the age of a little child, that's true. But folks your age don't act like you do, so be mature.
Jeder meckert über den ÖPNV. Aber was steckt wirklich dahinter? Mit dem Podcast Ticket to Anywhere blickst du hinter die Kulissen des Nahverkehrs. Schauspieler Maximilian Mund reist zu seiner Oma, trifft spannende Menschen wie Malte Zierden oder Linda Zervakis und erklärt alles zu Bus und Bahn. Und wie sie besser werden können. Erlebe ein außergewöhnliches Audioerlebnis rund um unsere alltägliche Mobilität. Jetzt reinhören auf Spotify oder unter zukunftnahverkehr.de/podcast.
And the rest of the verse is just going into how to be a better person, how to be a man, how to be positive. So it starts off in this very call out your shit before that transition, pivoting on the line, believe it or not, the Lord still shines on you, before getting into the positive and this maturation and not acting like a child in the immature way.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
That's the point I was going to make was, you know, the Lord shining his light on Kanye and him learning to grow up. To Kanye, funny enough, to him, it's learning to become a kid again. But when he says becoming a kid again, he really just means being reborn, and looking at life differently and having a new perspective on everything.
Right. Not being indulgent and able to throw temper tantrums. Like, he had been the immature version of a kid, And now this rebirth and this new perspective would allow him to have the positive aspects of it.
Mm-hmm.
Which isn't the first time that Kanye's talked about the importance of childhood, right? It's something that he talked about on Power.
I just needed time alone with my own thoughts. Got treasures in my mind, but couldn't open up my own vault. My talent, like creativity, purity, and honesty is honestly being crowded by these grown thoughts. Reality is catching up with me. Taking my inner child, I'm fighting for custody. With these responsibilities that they entrusted me. As I look down at my diamond encrusted piece.
Taking my inner child, I'm fighting for it.
Fighting for custody, yeah.
Fighting for custody, yeah. That's that seems pretty huge that he had looked at society as robbing him of his inner child for a while and his childlike creativity, purity, and honesty. So Ye seems to be him getting back that which he had lost, which is his creativity, his innocence, all of that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Lots of connections, Travis.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a slicker example. And that idea of being a better man plays into what we're seeing on the album, but it gets into how Kanye decided to address the drama with Drake that unfolded before the album came out. You know, Pusha T released Daytona, Infrared had the Drake snipe, Drake responds with Duppy Freestyle.
Yeah.
That's what it was. And just days before Ye came out. So Kanye, instead of attacking Drake back, went this route while sampling the Slick Rick song that talks about being a mature person and not acting like a immature brat.
Yeah. And I mean, a lot of that really stems from Kanye's beef with Jay-Z and how so much of this album was already wrapped up in leaving that kind of lifestyle behind. Especially Kids See Ghosts, you know, it's all about getting past your ghost. And such a huge part of the ghost was this. It comes at the end of Cuddy Montage where people choose sides, somebody dies and somebody goes to jail. It's learning about getting past that life. So with that theme already kind of infused in the album, it makes the Kanye addressing the Drake beef here just fits in so naturally.
Especially I thought about Killing You, that last part of the song is so much antagonistic.
It's a different type of rules that we obey. Yeah, 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 season, nigga, we obey.
We ready to fight, calling people out, seeming to call specifically like taking shots at Jay-Z to reach the point here where he's away from that aggression and not getting into another fight, making no mistakes, living that better life. It seems telling.
Yeah.
Well, so we get Charlie Wilson and Kid Cudi coming in with Make No Mistake, Girl, I Still Love You.
Believe it or not. Make no mistake, girl, I still love you. Make no mistake, girl, I still love you. Make no mistake, girl, I still love you.
And this seems to be a response to Would It Leave, with Kim standing by him, saying, you know, despite all the shit that I've done, despite how confusing it may seem at times, what I'm thinking and what I'm doing, make no mistake, I still love you. And, you know, it might be a leap in logic, but the implication to me, especially with what happens on the song and with the title of the song, is that I still love you and I'm going to show you that by not fucking up anymore. Like, I've been making mistakes and I'm going to stop that. Watch. Instead of getting drawn into this beef, I'm going to put it to the side and be more mature. See, like, I still love you. I'm going to be a better person.
Yeah. And the other part is Wouldn't Leave is for Kim, but it's never necessarily kind of talking to Kim. You know, he says, like, for any guy that ever fucked up, she told you not to do that shit. Now you're testing her loyalty. Like, it's almost like he's thinking to himself about everything he did wrong. And here at the beginning of No Mistakes, it kind of feels like he's actually acknowledging her, like directly standing in front of him, like, make no mistake, I still love you. Like, I'm going to change.
Yeah, right. Like, Wouldn't Leave could have just been his thoughts.
Yeah, totally.
And this is the first like declaration back to her, having had those thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
So the music kicks in at that time too, and that's the first bit that we get from the Edward Hawkins Singers, Children Get Together. The title Children Get Together should be sounding some alarm bells, at least in terms of the purpose of it. But the lyrics of this song are, "O children, O children. Won't you try to get together? Try a little love for your sisters and brothers." Getting into the first verse, "So much talk all over this land. Talk about peace and love everywhere you go. My daughter's getting tired of all the wicked ways, so you better get together before it's too late." And then the second verse, "There's a war over here and a war over there. Nation against nation and the kingdoms too. The young against the old and the old against the new. We're all getting hung up, wondering what to do." And it says, get together, the young against the old, get together. Just repeating that what you have to do is try a little love and get together. And that's exactly what happens in this song, is instead of going into war with Drake, Kanye tries to get together in the best way that he can. He tries to squash what's going on.
Until he kind of brings it back in the at the end.
Yeah, the calm down, you light skin, just wrecks everything.
We'll pretend that line just didn't happen. How about that?
Yeah, maybe one day we'll be like, oh, that makes so much sense now. But just right now.
Until then.
No. But Children Get Together's message of peace seems resonant here. And in the connection that we see between Kid See Ghost and Ye, as one being kind of this external journey and the other being the internal journey, at this point on Kid See Ghost, we have Reborn, which focuses on, what is it, keep moving forward?
Mm-hmm.
And Cudi has this portion where he sets himself up as being in this lost state. And in the background, you have keep moving forward, keep moving forward, keep moving forward.
I'm so reborn. I'm moving forward. Keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. Ain't no stress on.
And that's this kind of reminder. On the Children Get Together song, you have the reminder of get together, get together, get together. Even when it's talking about war, when it's talking about all these problems, the answer is to get together. And that idea of getting together, believe it or not, being this better person, resonates in this song much the same way that Keep Moving Forward resonates in Reborn.
Yeah. I guess the only difference is Keep Moving Forward is given such prominence in that song, and you hear it the whole time, and you can hear somebody talking through things of themselves, and it's much more subtle in this. You could almost miss that Believe It or Not is going on the whole time in the background.
Top off, let the sun come in. Whoa, for all my dogs to stay down, we up again.
But as soon as you hear it, you kind of like can't escape it, and it's just bouncing around.
It is weird. Like, it surprised us when we were first were doing prep for this episode, and we were like, wait, is it back there the whole time? But Believe It or Not gets repeated way more than just at the beginning and end.
Yeah.
Funny Kanye.
That guy's a crack up.
Well, so shall we get into the verse finally?
Yeah, I think we should. 30 minutes in.
Yeah. Take the top off, let the sun come in. Which the imagery here is just more so kind of a convertible sense is what we expect from rap music, right?
Mm-hmm.
Taking the top off, letting the sun come in. You can think about somebody driving. But this also gets into a motif on this album that's set up with some of the very first lines of the album, which is "the most beautiful thoughts are beside the darkest."
I think about killing myself, and I love myself way more than I love you. The most beautiful thoughts are always beside the darkest.
And that you have to have, at times, this ugliness to get the beauty. That the juxtaposition between the two is what creates the two. So this idea of taking the top off and letting the sun come in means we were in darkness, and now we're letting the light in, which is reminiscent of that idea of dark thoughts and now beautiful thoughts, mm-hmm. which to me gets at the halves of the album. We're in the darker half of the album, but now the top's off and we're able to have the beauty of the album.
And that leads perfectly into the next line. "Woe for all my dogs that stayed up, that stayed down, we up again," which is Kanye kind of inviting everyone else into that mentality. You know, I feel like that's such an important part of all this, is that Kanye isn't just going through something and saying like, okay, I need to be better. He's really trying to encourage everyone to be the same way. I mean, that's the Kanye way, right? That's the whole reason he got back on Twitter, was to start conversations and to not preach, but really like give voice to his ideals. And he wants to share with the world how he's changing, because he wants to change the world.
Yeah, the duality of that line is beautiful. As you're saying, speaking to people that have been down and being able to be like positive again, to have that transition from the one state of being to the other, but then also talking to the people that have been loyal, like the loyal fans, loyal friends that were with him through these dark times, like those times are over and now we just get to ride the good vibe.
Yeah, I'm on that vibe.
Yeah, you know what? I've been thinking about it. I think I'm on that vibe too.
I was on the ULB for a long time, and now I'm on this new one.
The No Mistakes vibe?
Yeah.
The Yay vibe?
Mm.
Perfect. So then we get, "Oh, I got dirt on my name. I got white on my beard.
Dirt on my name. I got white on my beard. I had debt on my books. It's been a shaky-ass year. Let me make this clear so all y'all see. I don't take advice from people less successful than me."
Which he's understanding what he's been through in this negative period, that he has kind of sullied his reputation. And the white on the beard not only talks about his age, but we know that people that go through stressful times tend to appear older in the aftermath. I mean, there's the people always like to laugh at photos, maybe not laugh at, but kind of be in awe of photos of presidents when they took office compared to when they leave office, and how often they go completely white or look years older than what they should. So I think that "I got white in my beard" kind of gets at the fact that this year was pretty stressful.
Yeah. Just to make a note on what you just said about presidents, some presidents go into office looking like absolute garbage and leave looking like absolute garbage.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Just one in particular, though.
There's one I can think of that's just a gelatinous piece of shit.
Yeah, he's just like, was as orange as he went in as he came out.
Hmm. Such a creamsicle.
Still has a pile of straw on his head.
So we get the completion of the listing of the three: dirt on my name, white on my beard, I had debt on my books, which is the third negative. And we get the concluding thought of, it's been a shaky ass year. And he follows that up with, "Let me make this clear so all y'all see, I don't take advice from people less successful than me." Which I've been thinking about that line more lately, and my initial reading of it was just the transition into the bragging Yeezus kind of Kanye.
Mm-hmm.
But then I wonder if he's aware of getting dirt on his name, white on his beard, and shaky ass year. If part of it's saying that he doesn't take advice and that's played into some of the problems. Like, it's not necessarily that he's positioning that as a positive,
right,
or gloating about it, but it's just saying, like, this is another one of the things that can cause issues. But he recently tweeted that he's never going to listen to advice again. So it seems like he's just on an anti-advice kick.
Yeah. I think both scenarios work. Everything you just said does kind of play into it. Everything that follows this line, though, makes me think it's more of the Yeezus persona kind of stepping in and Kanye the storyteller introducing this small section of the album where the Yeezus persona wants to creep back in, but Kanye learns to overcome it. But I do like that.
Yeah, I think what you're saying works better. And we know that the Yeezus persona has been Kanye's defense mechanism. And that mania has been a defense mechanism.
Right.
He ends, "I thought about killing you," with, "All you have to do is speak on Ye." And this other aspect of him will come out. And, you know, the challenges of this year, where it's been a shaky ass year, seems to imply the kind of thing like the year has been speaking on Ye, so to speak. He's got dirt on his name, so people have been talking shit about him. And it's like, in the wake of understanding that Yeezus mindset starts to come back into the forefront as this defense mechanism. But this is the exact thing that he has to squash, because it's the exact thing that causes him to make mistakes.
Mm.
So it seems telling in a song about trying to show that he's doing better, but it makes sense that in a song where he needs to show himself as doing better, that he would start to bring in this older behavior and tramp it down.
Successful to me, huh? Ain't no love lost, but the gloves off. And we up in this bitch until they turn the club off. Had to tell the dogs, turn the snubs off. Plus they already mad that the Cubs lost.
And not only lyrically, as we'll see in the next few lines, but the music, you know, the pretty music from the Edwin Hawkins singers completely cuts out. And you just kind of have this low thump going on in the background. And it starts to feel like the beginning of the album again. You know, Kanye's literally bringing back the Yeezus ambiance that we had at the beginning.
Yeah, that soundlessness, the synths, more of just the bass. We really, in the middle portion of this, where it starts to turn more arrogant, ego-driven, get that returning soundscape.
Crazy.
Yeah, right? Sonic motifs. That's what this is. He's associated a certain soundscape with a certain state of being, and then another soundscape with another state of being. So when he brings back in that first one, it's supposed to come with all the implications of that state of being.
Yeah.
I mean, we see it in Fantasia, every Disney movie, specific characters have music associated with them. Peter and the Wolf. That's one of the oldest examples of it. What is it? Like, the oboe is the duck. Like, Peter's the flute. The wolf is the, I don't know, tuba. And Kanye's just doing that in a more artistic, advanced way than a way that's meant for children.
Although I'm glad we made another reference to a Disney movie.
Yeah, that's something that this podcast has to do.
Every episode.
I'm glad for the first time we can talk about Peter and the Wolf.
Absolutely. I've never seen it, but it sounds great.
Oh, you never got to listen to Peter and the Wolf as a kid?
No, I don't even know what that is. Maybe if I heard it, I don't know. Although I like your version.
It's really good.
Hmm.
It's one of my favorite things to listen to as a kid.
Can you just reenact it for me and I'll just listen to that?
All right, so... It was a winter's day.
You don't have to do it. I didn't mean right now, Chris. We're doing the middle of an episode.
All right. Later. Time and place. The other sonic motif that comes in that seems in line with that and to support that is, if you look at "I Thought About Killing You," we start off with just the voice, and then we start off with a lower bass in the middle portion as Kanye starts to ramp up to more of the Yeezus persona.
Make my name last, put that on my last name. It's a different type of rules that we obey.
And by the last third of I Thought About Killing You, we have much more of this darker ambience with screams rhythmically placed throughout the last minute of the song. When we get to Yikes, those screams are replaced with kind of an alarm sound.
Tweaking, tweaking off that 2CB, huh? Is he gonna make it TBD, huh? Thought I was gonna run.
That flows throughout the song and has a similar high pitchness to it. And we don't necessarily get that on All Mine or Would It Leave. The only other time we get it is in this middle portion, once we get to the lines, had to tell the dogs, turn the snubs off. And it lasts for three lines before the Slick Rick sample comes back in and Kanye calms all the tension.
Believe it or not,
these two wrongs are right, you.
Believe it or not,
I was too grown in high school.
Believe it or not,
the true soul of Ice Cube, too close to
so that almost, it seems like a motif of the screams and the alarm sound, which signals the mania. And that the mania would have been starting to ramp up, but the Slick Rick sample coming back in wins out, and Kanye refuses to go down that route.
Oh, it's like a jigsaw puzzle.
Ah, da ist meine Prime-Bestellung.
Was? Jetzt schon?
Nur eine Sache begeistert so wie die schnelle Lieferung mit Prime. Und zwar das tolle Unterhaltungsangebot von Prime.
Was schauen wir uns an?
Fallout ist zurück mit Staffel 2. Unsere Lieblingshelden kämpfen sich durch die brutale und bizarre Einöde, um dahin zu gelangen, wo alles begann. New Vegas.
Schnelle, kostenlose Lieferung, geniale Unterhaltung und mehr gibt's bei Prime. Für nur 8,99 € pro Monat. Werde jetzt Prime-Mitglied. Die Inhalte können Werbung enthalten. Fortlaufende Mitgliedschaft. Mehr auf amazon.de/prime.
It is. Do you think Kanye likes the Saw movies?
I do think he probably deeply connects with Jigsaw, yes.
Just like, that guy's smart.
Or he sees Jay as a Jigsaw figure.
Whoa. Jay is My Jigsaw, a biography by Kanye West. So we get Ha following, I don't take advice from people less successful than me. And that Ha is the classic My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, Watch the Throne ad lib from Kanye. Following with Ain't No Love Lost But the Gloves Off, which seems to be a clear indication of getting into the beef with somebody.
Yeah.
He's no longer going to fight with gloves on and take it easy, is the attitude. And it's nothing personal, like, you know, there's still love, but we're going to fucking fight.
But let's do this.
Yeah. And we up in this bitch until they turn the club off, which is just a metaphor at this point that I'm in it until we're kicked out. Right? Like, I'm going to be here, like, let's fucking do this. And we're gonna go.
Yeah, it's like the on-site mentality, or the waves fighting the club mentality.
Yeah, it seems to recall both of those things, right? Like, the waves verse still cracks me up. This idea of Kanye, like, in a club being like, your bitch wants me. Like, let's fucking fight. Yeah.
And then seconds later, he's cradled in Kim's arms.
Right, like, I was going to quote Chris Brown on Waves, but I just keep thinking of Would It Leave.
And you keep thinking of Chris Brown.
It's the last thing I try to do in a day.
You're better than Chris Brown. You're better than Chris Brown as you fall asleep.
Yeah. I dance better than Chris Brown.
You do.
Yeah. Yeah. And in certain respects, you know, mm-hmm. If by dancing better means not dancing at all, then I'm a much better dancer than Chris Brown.
I would agree with that assessment.
Thank you. Thank you. So had to tell the dogs, turn the snubs off. The snub in this case seems to refer to a gun, a weapon. The Genius annotation makes some references to 50 Cent referring to guns as snubs. And in this case, I think because it is more of a relationship with somebody that he was friendly with or with Drake, it's saying like, hey, no guns, like, we're not going to take those kinds of shots. which Pusha T had taken that kind of shots. It was kind of like, hey, turn the snubs off, like no more. I think that's a reference. A lot of the, whatchamacallit, when people go at each other in hip hop, it's just taking shots. Like Jay took a shot at Kanye, like Kanye took a shot at Jay.
Although what Pusha did was more than taking a shot. He dropped the fucking bomb on Drake.
Yeah, he did. That was pretty intense. That guy. pretty intense. But here he's cautioning, but saying, plus they already mad that the Cubs lost. The implication being that the people that support him were ready to do something severe. They were already mad that the Cubs lost. They're mad that Drake went at Kanye. Like, they're ready to fucking go to it, which seems to imply Chicago, with it being Cubs fans.
Yeah.
Maybe not people from, say, Cleveland, who would be upset about the Cubs.
Although I'm sure there are plenty of Cub fans there.
Yeah. I hope they're all happy about their World Series.
I guess if you grew up as an Indians fan, it would be pretty easy to just, well, no, the Cubs were worse than the Indians, I guess, for a long time. I don't know.
Yeah.
The Cubs just inspire that in people, weirdly.
Do they get were they hated a lot in Illinois?
The Cubs?
Yeah.
Quite the opposite. As a Cardinals fan, I can vouch, quite the opposite.
Yeah, that's a weird thing, because some of Illinois is closer to St. Louis than to Chicago, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you get into Southern Illinois, you will find a lot of Cardinal fans, but even there, especially with SIU, Southern Illinois University down there, and so many Chicago kids going there, like, it just feels like Chicago's everywhere.
Yeah, I think mostly Yankees, Cubs, and Boston hats.
Mm-hmm.
Way and more, like, Cubs hats than White Sox.
Oh my God, no one in Chicago even likes the White Sox. But you will also see Braves hats everywhere just because the Braves run TBS.
Yeah, they got a lot of play.
Fuckers.
So I think that's the reference there with, plus they're already mad that the Cubs lost. It seems to be Kanye starting to de-escalate a little bit instead of saying, like, hey, get the guns. He's saying, turn the snubs off. And then, believe it or not, comes back in. And that high-pitched sound kind of falls underneath the lines, believe it or not, and these two wrongs will right you, and then disappears entirely. When we get to, believe it or not, I was too grown in high school, the true soul of Ice Cube, which still, that line leaves me puzzled, even though I kind of understand it. The two wrongs will right you is a play on the idea of two wrongs don't make a right, seeming to say that, you know, having made a wrong, making this other wrong. Wait, what?
I know, that line still baffles me, actually.
Yeah, it seems the implication would be two wrongs will make a right, but I feel like that can't possibly be the actual.
I mean, it could be that the wrongs aren't like canceling each other out or anything like that. It could just be like him just saying, I've made enough mistakes to now be like, I need to right myself.
Oh yeah, like the righting of a ship.
Maybe. It's kind of hard to tell.
What did we say the first time we did this episode?
Yeah, I know. Actually, this stretch of lines, I think, gave us a lot of trouble.
No, it absolutely did give us trouble there, too.
I mean, it could just be that when there are two, you know, there are two sides to beef, and it's not that either side, both sides are wrong because you shouldn't be beefing. So Kanye's kind of saying, like, his realization of that is right at him.
Yeah, I think there's something to that idea, especially in the context of Slick Rick, that there's this idea of improvement and maturation and doing better. So even if at the moment we don't know what those lines logically are getting at, I think we know what the intention of them are.
Yeah, right.
And it's that transition into showing the maturation.
Maybe the Kanye shouldn't have written this album in a week.
You mean that's a line that he might have worked on?
Nah, I take it back. Every line is perfect.
That's right, Travis. Don't you forget it.
Spank me.
How dare you? How dare you? So we go from that to I was too grown in high school, which seems to get at the idea of being mature in high school. So he wasn't doing those kinds of fights then. So why would he do those kinds of fights now at this point?
This was another line we discussed pretty in depth last time.
Was it? It seems like it would be. I could imagine me saying that and Jordan being like, I don't know. So implication again, whatever the specific might be of maturation and growth, the positive side of what Slick Rick was talking about in Believe It or Not. And the true soul of Ice Cube seems to get at the fact that Ice Cube, as Genius says, was revered for not backing down or compromising his art.
Right.
And on Chain Heavy, Kanye had said,
I'm the day Ice Cube met Michael Jackson. Keep him away, huh? Something might happen. This is the
which seems to be this mixture of intensity with artistry and pop stardom and that pop appeal.
Right.
I mean, no, Ice Cube, I mean, he always plays the intense role in movies, right?
Clearly, I wasn't talking to you, big titties, you cherub-looking motherfucker. I was talking to your partner over here, fake-ass handsome McGee. When I'm talking to him, I'm talking to him. When I say shut the fuck up, I'm talking to you. Now, you two sons...
So there's this intensity about Ice Cube, but I think he's either trying to say that, you know, he's the true soul of Ice Cube and could, like, go that route, but is opting not to in that case. Or getting at the fact that the true soul of Ice Cube is somehow more than just that aggression.
Yeah, that's a good point. Do you remember your other theory about what this line means, about being an Ice Cube?
Oh, God. I had forgotten about it.
It's okay. I have it on recording. We'll slip it in right here.
I can recall it.
Okay, if you want to go into it.
I can recall it. So, you know, the Ice Cube theory, I think people are... you know, misreading this line entirely. Uh-huh. Now that I remember this,
what this you were misreading is. It.
I was misreading it. Forget everything I just said. So the reason why we think it's Ice Cube the person is because of Genius capitalizing it and making it seem like Ice Cube the person. And, you know, why would it be something else? Why would Kanye be talking about Ice Cubes? But we know that Kanye really likes these kind of goofy-ass, simple lines. Like, you left your fridge open, someone took a sandwich, I have bad manners, or I'm rude, or whatever it is, and I thought about killing you. Like, use the floor as an ashtray. So, the true soul of Ice Cube, instead of being about the true soul of the rapper and artist Ice Cube, could be the true soul of an ice cube.
Right.
Just an individual block of ice. And what's an ice cube? What are the properties of it? It's cold. It's not, it doesn't try to antagonize or do anything. You know, if you're cool as ice, you're somebody that's cool under pressure. You're not flinching. You're not getting all emotional. It's the opposite of fire in that regard.
Yeah,
which
there's some hydrogen
passion.
In there, some oxygen in there.
That's right. Hydrogen and oxygen play vital roles in this. Phase shifts, cellular collision at atomic speeds.
And the best part of it cools your drink off. So if you eat an ice cold cup of lemonade is so fucking perfect.
We're gonna have to end this podcast now so I can go get some lemonade.
Some pink lemonade.
Pink lemonade's really good. Country time. I remember I always told my friend's mom that she made the best lemonade, and she's always like, it's country time. I'm like, it's the best. You make the best. And she'd be like, it's country
take
time.
Take the compliment, damn it.
Yeah. Just scooping country time into a container of water.
Well, you have to scoop the right amount.
That's true. It's an art. It's the art.
Back to the lemonade. Song.
Yeah, so True Soul of Ice Cube, it could very well be that Kanye's just saying that he has the true soul of an ice cube, and that's why he's not overreacting in this situation or getting heated, you know?
I said back to the sound like I thought we were going to get serious again.
Oh, yeah, we could do that too.
But I'm glad you've kept with it.
So moving on from ice cubes of whatever type, we get into Too Close to Snipe You.
Ice cube, too close to snipe you. Truth told, I like you. Too bold to type you. Too rich to fight you. Calm down, you light skin.
And Close, we know that Kanye and Drake are friends. We know that they live right down the street from each other, mm-hmm. to the point where I think if it's not right across the street from each other, it's within eyesight of one another, which Drake referenced on his album Scorpion, how close they live together. So he's saying, you know, this doesn't make any sense to attack you in the way that people attack each other, because I actually like you and I'm too bold to tweet at you. That's a bitch move. and too rich to fight you. Like, we're not going to throw down. So what's that leave? Like, just moving on and being better than acting in this way?
Yeah, I think so.
And too bold to type you, that's a nice font joke, which is not something you get a lot of in music these days, if ever. You know, you can bold font. Yeah. You can bold what you're typing. So too bold to type you. Nice little joke for typeset fans.
Yeah.
And then we get Calm Down, You Light Skin.
Which, it's not great, but if we're going to try to make sense of it and not make it like an ugly line, maybe that's the kind of relationship they have, that he kind of can say something like that, like, calm down, man, you light skin, like, nothing to be mad about. Like, it's some sort of playful behavior. It just, to me, it strikes me as weird.
Yeah, it seems to undercut everything.
Everything. Like,
he's just being like, you know, too close to snipe you. I can imagine Drake being like, yeah, we do live close. Yeah, we are rich and like bold. What?
Come again?
I'm light skinned. Like, why does this have to be about light, dark skin? Like, I feel like skin color of that nature within the Black community would be something that Kanye wouldn't be calling people out on or drawing lines in the sand on or using as a negative application in that way. It's not something that I've heard him do in music up until this point.
Right.
So it just seems kind of startling for him to take that stand on it.
Yep. It'll leave me baffled for a long time.
And this is the line that he recorded while going up to the listening party.
Yeah.
Like, this was one of the things that delayed the album. It's so weird.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe the song will, maybe that line will make more context over the next like month or year or years.
Like, right? How, like, we say that about any Kanye song, any Kanye line we don't like or can't make sense. Like, 5 years from now, I bet we'll get it.
Yeah, we'll brainwash ourselves into liking this and making sense of it at some point in time.
Right.
As of right now,
yeah,
problematic to me. You know, let's ask Kanye about it.
Oh, absolutely. First question.
Yeah. But it's throughout this portion where he's saying too close to snipe you, too bold to type you, that you can hear all these subtle sounds kind of building up and starting to coalesce. And during that calm down, you light skin, they erupt into the chorus and make no mistake, girl, I still love you. Which seems to get out of the mindset of this negative kind of beef and back to worrying about what really matters, which is Kim, his family, being positive, growth, maturation.
Mm.
And that's when the Slick Rick sample comes in full force with Believe It or Not, The Lord Still Shines on You.
Beautiful.
Yeah, And it seems that the implication, at least to us, of this being the full line here and not earlier, is that it's kind of something that Kanye's working through. So he has the idea in mind throughout the song. And once he's gone through an experience that makes him feel like maybe he's used that notion of the Slick Rick like idea in his mind, he's now in a place to continue the line and get the full implication of it, which is the Lord still shines on you. There's hope. Like, you are going to do better and be better.
Yeah. And he connects that thought with "Make no mistake, girl, I'll still love you." So he's asking for the Lord to help him, but he's also saying, like, I got to do better on my end as well.
It's that dual. No.
The dualness?
The dual. I'm trying to describe it as having that faith and knowing that you have support spiritually gives you the strength that you need to act in the way that you need to act.
Yeah.
And when you feel like you don't have that support spiritually, you act in ways that are detrimental, which is something that we saw on The Life of Pablo. In the first half of that album, between Father Stretch My Hands Part 1 and Waves, Kanye struggles, or the Pablo character struggles with faith. And that struggle with faith leads to the bad behavior that we see on the early portion of that album, on Famous, Feedback, Low Lights, Highlights, Freestyle 4. All of that traces back to this kind of indulgent, godless behavior. But once Pablo finds that faith, and finds that faith through love and his wife, he starts behaving in a much more positive way.
Mm-hmm. Which I think is a pretty universal journey. I mean, it doesn't always have to be a religious thing. Whenever you're down in the ruts or you've kind of lost yourself, a lot of times it just takes this kind of outside entity, this, you know, ethereal force that helps you make sense of things and helps remind you of what's important in life. And that could be music, it could be art, movies, whatever. It could just be talking to, you know, your best friend. It's whatever puts love. You back in that place. It could be just love.
Yeah, agreed. That's something that we see a lot of. I can think of a movie where that's the case.
Does it start with a T?
It does. It does. It does. Mm.
Does it end with an N?
An N?
Wait, a G.
It does. The Lionkin.
I know how to spell.
I mean, The Lionkin works. It is the next of kin.
Well, I was for some reason thinking of lion. There's an N that ends
lion. The lion.
This is what the end of this week sounds like.
Yes. It's been a long week. It's been a shaky ass week. but yeah, The Lion King, you know, he has to remember who he is and have that connection to his father, and rekindling that connection to himself and who he is, and make Simba into the hero and king that he needed to be.
Absolutely.
Oh, also Billy Madison.
Oh yeah. Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore, Fight Club, Groundhog Day. There'll be
just
blood.
Just these movies. Yeah, there will be blood with that happy ending.
He really finds himself.
He does.
He really does, actually.
Yeah, he becomes who he always was. I'm finished.
Mm-hmm.
Are we finished?
I think so.
Nice. That does it for this one. Join us for the next one, which is going to be Reborn.
Yeah. And if you want to support the show, you can check us out on patreon.com/Kanye Podcast. Right now we're trying to reach a $250 goal, which will get us, what does it get us?
I think Logic Pro for you.
Okay. So I will get Logic Pro to make the shows better, and then we'll make another Kanye song. And if you want to find other ways to support us, you can just look in the show description where you have links to everything.
Yeah. There's a variety of ways, some free, some involve buying things, but support.
Yeah.
We appreciate it.
The best thing you could do is subscribe to us on iTunes and give us a rating.
Yeah, we'd be very appreciative of that. But thank you for listening, and join us on Twitter for more conversation at Kanye Podcast.
Yeah, stay loopy, fuckers.
Keep it wavy.
Someday.